have you join us. God bless you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Wow. What a, after an introduction like that, I can hardly wait to hear myself, to be honest. Thank you, Pastor Stewart. What a blessing you are. And we just met at the airport today, but I already feel, and of course, his wife is so full of the joy of the Lord. You just want to be around her more. Isn't that right? I am glad to have Carl Everett with me. And Carl's been with me since 1995. Running across the world, and Carl was one of our original small group leaders in 1995. He's still going 23 years later. He has about 30 people in his home group every week, and what a blessing he is. Stand up, Carl. Let's give him a hand clap. He's a good man. But I just want to say what an honor it is to be with you guys. Actually, this weekend, with you, I'll be speaking four times, and then I'll be speaking for Pastor Chris Hodges in Birmingham, Alabama on Sunday. How many of you have heard of Church of the Highlands in the United States? Now the second largest church in America. About 50,000 people attend there every Sunday on 16 campuses. Of course, the largest church in America is right here in Oklahoma City, and that is Craig Groeschel Life Church. I think we'll have 29 campuses by the end of this year. But the Lord is doing some amazing things. And I just want to say what an honor it is. You don't know me. I don't know you. But I honor you. And that's my subject tonight. But, you know, it was about 2 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. I was on vacation in Destin, Florida. And I had been very busy traveling. You know, when I was 58, about 7 years ago, my son took our church. And I had taken our church from my dad when I was 30. So I was 58, 28 years I pastored the church. And our overseer selected my son to pastor the church when I moved into full-time working with pastors. And what a blessing that, you know, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And so amazing things have happened since that time. But I preach now about 150 times a year. Some people thought I retired. I told them I have the tired part right, not the re part yet. But I'm traveling a lot across the world with our church planning efforts and just ministering to pastors just like you guys here this week I'm doing. And what a blessing it is that I was there in Destin, got there late in the afternoon, very tired, and I told my wife I was going to take a nap. How many of you believe in a sanctified nap? Do you believe in that? Now, don't take one while I'm talking tonight, but just, and as I was asleep, it began to rain, and I'm talking about, you know, I think it was Andy Griffith called it a frog strangling rain. It poured, and I didn't even wake up. And the next morning, my wife told me, she said, I have never been in a stronger storm than that one. She said the rain blew literally sideways right out on the beach. We were right on the beach. We had rented a place there in Destin. And she said the lightning was flickering every second or two, just very dangerous. You guys here in Oklahoma know that means there's a tornado, there's hailstorm, something's going on. And she said, and it, right in the middle of it, we're just having breakfast out on the porch that next morning. She said, I saw something that is unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to share this thing with you tonight because I believe it's going to change your ministry. I really do. I think it's a concept that has the ability to completely transform the way we look at the kingdom of God. She said, a man in the height of the storm walked right out of the building where we were, down the stairs to the beach. And she said that he walked under that flagpole. And I'm talking about lightning that's going, flickering continually, and thunder and the rain blowing sideways. And he stood under this American flag. And I was just there, actually, last week. I saw this flagpole again. I met this gentleman I'm describing to you. He's a security guard. And he stood under that flagpole and he put his hand over his heart. This is important. He looked up to the top of the flag and he threw a salute, Melanie said, in the rain. I mean, pouring down. And then he lowered the flag and unclipped it, folded it, put it under his arm, and he walked back to some safe, dry place where he kept that flag. And she said, I could not believe what I was seeing. She said, it was so dangerous. I don't know what the guy was doing out there. And I interrupted her and I said, that's a veteran. That's a veteran. I said, there's no question about it. That had to be a veteran. She said, how do you know? I said, because a veteran, the flag is not a piece of cloth to a veteran. Red, white, blue, just 4 or 5 feet long. It represents millions of men and women that left these shores and have gone and endangered their lives for the freedom of our country. And hundreds of thousands never returned. And said, he's looking past the flag. The flag is not what he's looking at like a normal person would. He's looking to those people. And she got up and she left. And the Lord said to me, I want to teach you from that veteran what honor is all about. Now, before I continue, I'd like to just take a moment and honor every man or woman who's in this service and you served in the military in any of the branches at all. I want you to stand to your feet. Would you do that? Just stand up. If you're a veteran, please stand up. Could we give them a great big hand clap? Come on, everybody. There they are. Come on, give them a great hand clap. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. So the Lord, I mean, within 5 minutes, he gave me a word that's going to take me about 30 minutes to unpack it. But it transformed my life. It's been about 2.5 years, but it really transformed me. And every single day, not one day goes by, not one service goes by, that this word that I'm going to give you has not transformed everything about ministry for me, people, relating to people, relating to America, relating to people all over the world, every culture. And I want to just begin by talking a little bit about the Lord said to me, you need to study honor in heaven. And I started looking through the Bible. I looked in the book of Revelation particularly because every song in the book of Revelation contains the two words honor and glory. Glory and honor, and many other scriptures in the New Testament. But the Lord said to me that glory is reserved for me alone. We know that. No one receives glory but God. Can you say amen to that? But he said, honor I have given to men. Because he said, it is my plan, not only in earth, but in heaven, that all men receive honor. And he even said this word to me. He said, honor in heaven is like your gravity that I created on earth. And I had to think for a moment about gravity because gravity is a force that is invisible. We know it's working, but when's the last time you thought about gravity? Probably been quite a number of years. And yet you receive the benefits of it all day long. If there was a switch right here on this pulpit, like on this pulpit, and that switch controlled the gravity in this room, and I turned that switch off. Now, stay with me on this. I turned it off. What would happen? Well, you would immediately know because you'd start floating around like the space station. And you'd collide with people. You'd bump into people. You'd be upside down. You'd start hitting into people. This beautiful, peaceful, orderly, beautiful retreat building would turn into the most chaotic, divisive, confusing environment you can imagine because somebody turned that switch off. And then if I turned it back on again, you'd all hopefully fall down in your chairs again and brush yourself off and say, wow, what happened? And the Lord said to me, as gravity is to earth, honor is to heaven. He said, in heaven, it is an entire atmosphere of honor. And I began to look at America today. Now, you know the climate that we're in. I was on the plane coming here with a lady, a Catholic lady, sitting by me in the business class where I was. And she was talking about the problems in America and the problems in the world. She's petrified. She's scared to death. And it's because everyone knows something has changed in our country. And I know what it is. The devil has managed to turn that switch off. And the only way we're going to reach our nation and the new generation is by getting that switch turned back on. Yeah. Now, let me start with what God said to me first. He said, I want you to learn how to honor me as your creator. I'm going to read 1 Samuel 2 first. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30 is a story of Eli, as you know, who was in the temple, maybe like a bunch of us, we're pastors. He had sons, like a bunch of us, we have kids. But his sons were going through the motions of ministry, but they had no honor in the middle. And I'm going to tell you something. You can do ministry all you want, but if there's no honor in it, it does not please the Lord. He does not receive it. For the Lord said, and you recall what happened, his sons were lying with women, they were stealing money. And a prophet came to him and said, your sons are not honoring me. And he said, and I'm just going to read the end of the verse, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Now, notice that, just get that one thought. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, that means to sort of trivialize the Lord. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I even feel right now in this service. I thank you, Lord, for the transformational power of Scripture. And we bind the devil, the thief, who would try to interrupt or steal in any way the word. And we think it's falling on good ground, producing a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Could we clap our hands and give God the honor right now and the glory? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now, I'm going to go through this quickly because at the end, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit here. We're going to show him honor. But let me start by honoring God as your creator. That's my first point. The Lord said, I want you to honor me as the creator of all things. In Malachi chapter 1, the whole book is about honor. I never saw this before. It started in chapter 1 because the Lord said that I am your father, and a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? Yeah. Now, that's the initial verses of that first chapter of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. He's saying, I've seen 10 million sacrifices over the whole Old Testament, but I'm asking this question because they were no longer bringing the first sheep or the healthy sheep. They were bringing the diseased sheep, the lame sheep. And he asked them in verse 14, he said, if you brought that to your governor, would he accept it? If you brought a diseased sheep that had died in the field, would you cook that up and bring it to the governor? He said, he would not receive it. He said, for you even show more honor to your governor than you do to me. Now, I grasped the heart of God in this chapter right here, where he said that if I am a father, where is my honor? And verse 14, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. I'm not some little measly thing that you think is a little tiny part of your life. He said, I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. So what came into my heart first, Pastor, is that God is to be first in my life. And in our ministries. Now, see, you deal with people like me. People have a hard time staying committed. You know, the average person today in a Pentecostal church is attending one out of every three or four Sundays. Yeah. That's statistics. You say, how many people you have? Well, I don't know. I have about 100 people there. Well, you have about 300, really, because they're circling the planet. And every few Sundays, they decide to give God a break and show their face. Come on now, right? And it's all about dishonoring God. And the Lord said to me, you must put me first. I do not come in last. I do not accept little diseased sheep that you bump off the back of the wagon. God said, if you will put me first. You know, I feel the anointing just even preaching on this right now. And he said, I want your worship of me. I want it to be the best. I want it to be something that honors me. And you know, I can even tell. Now, please, I'm a pastor like you. It's all I am. I pastorized for 28 years. I know what pastoring is all about. And is it like this in your church? You work hard all week, get a message together, and it's time to preach. Half of your church is not even there when the message begins. They're not even there. In fact, we have people, and I watched it. I would always go to do the closing prayer on my way out, you know, over a microphone. I'd stand in the lobby. People were checking their children into the children's church as the service was ending. Now, there's late, but then there's absent. They were so late that the service is over, Gertrude. And they're checking in their children, and they did it every week. And I thought to myself, man, I hope that benediction really blessed you. But, you know, to them, it was like, well, you know, we're going to be a little late. I met our governor for 6 years every week. I did a Bible study. It's a miracle. I'll tell you it later. But every week, I was 45 minutes early to meet him. When you got his 15 staff and all the Bibles you put out and the lessons, you don't just show up about 10 minutes late, you know, kind of scratching your belly. And all. That's the governor of Louisiana in there. Yeah. Well, how about God? How about the one that spoke and 10 septillion stars came out of his mouth? How about the one that fills this universe with his love for people, who's welcoming them to come and meet with him in his house? And you mean to tell me I'm going to walk in the last 3 minutes of the service? Now, you see, this is in all our churches. And I wish mine were different than yours, but it's not. I never found out how to fix that until I understood honor. Because worship is the opportunity, and it's, a lot of people say, well, I don't need the song service. I'm going to just come for the preaching part. Really? But what do we do? And, you know, a lot of our songs are not even written to God anymore. You know, they're written about us. I don't want to sing a song about me. I want to sing about God. He's the one that's great. And then prayer. The Lord said, you know, you're trying to struggle to get people to church. Don't do that. Just teach them honor. They'll show up on time. And then you teach them prayer. You see, I figured this out. I can work on people like getting a mule out in the field and tell them you need to pray. They don't do it. Amen. Until they know honor. The switch is off, and it becomes artificial. Everything spiritual becomes artificial when honor is off. But if I turn that switch on, what do? It's a privilege first thing in the morning to get out of their bed and pray. And I have to model this myself, but the Lord spoke to me. He said, I don't want you to watch CNN first when you wake up. That's constantly negative news. That's what that stands for. He said, I don't want you to check your emails and your text messages. All do everything before you tip and give me a little 2 minute po-ya-ya and whatever. Don't do that. Yes, sir. He said, I want you to wake up early. If you'll ask me, he said, I'll wake you up early. He said, I want you to show me honor. And I get out of my bed. I go in my backyard often and just get on my knees. I look up at the stars. I say, how great thou art. I mean, just the moment I get on my knees and begin to truly honor God, the anointing comes in my life. You know why pastors are falling in sexual immorality? You know why they're having a hard time getting up a message for Sunday? They got the switch off. Prayer is not my duty. It is my delight. Come on, say amen. Amen. And then tithe. I'm still in the first point. I got other points. I'm still, hey, God said, honor me first with your worship, with your time, with prayer. But he said, with your giving. Do you know how difficult it is to get people to just give? To get them up off their wallet and get them to give something in the house of God? It ain't no joke. Get your neck broke. Isn't that right? I mean, people don't want to give. They don't want, and tithing, now they're saying only 4% of Christians tithe. 4%. When God himself said, that's mine, the tithe is the Lord. And he showed me the key in Malachi, remember, chapter 3. He said, for your curse for the curse, you've stolen my tithe and offering. And he said to me, I don't need your tithe. I don't need your money. I can create anything I need. I gave you the tithe to see if you would honor me. And here's the verse for that. I got a scripture for it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits. First fruits is the tithe of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. God does not need my money, and he wants to pour out his blessing. He just wants to see if I will honor him with my tithe. I was raised as a child to tithe. My dad was in World War II in North Africa and lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I mean, he had to clean his teeth three times from the wine stains when he came home from his tour of duty in North Africa. And Daddy was there, and a German plane was strafing the road they were marching on. Everybody jumped off the road. He found a little 4-inch sapling tree. He got behind it. And he prayed. He said, God, if you'll spare my life, just in a second, I'll go to the First Baptist Church of Picayune, Mississippi, where he was from. That's the hub of the universe, by the way. And he said, I'll give them a tithe. And here came the bullets, and the plane strafed by, and he was still in one piece. And he started sending his dollar a week or whatever it was that was his pay to the First Baptist Church. And after he came home from the war, he went over to the church to see what all that money had been buying. And he got saved. That's why I'm standing in front of you tonight, because a dad learned to honor God and tithe, and that's why I'm in the ministry. He was in the ministry 68 years. God called him to preach that Sunday. But it happened because he turned the switch on. And let me tell you, with your people, do not stand up and beg them to give. Never. You would dishonor God by that. You teach them that the tithe is the Lord's, and if you honor him, he will honor you. He will bless you. And if they don't want to tithe, that's their business. I will tithe 30% if he said 50%. It doesn't matter to me. The tithe is the Lord's. How many of you would say it is a blessing to tithe? Come on, raise your hands. Good. Well, see, now that changes everything about giving. It is my honor. Number two, he said, I want you to honor those in government offices. This happened in like 5 minutes. I'm sharing it with you from my heart. And I get into a bunch of other stuff tomorrow, but I just had to get this one out of the way first. Is that okay? Amen. He said, honor those who hold government offices. And boy, are we ever in a mess in America right now with this one. Yes, sir. Because when we have police officers that are not respected, we have politicians that are not respected. What are you looking at now with kids going into schools and just murdering and killing their teachers? And we're living in a total environment of dishonor. And anyone who is in a position of authority is automatically dishonored on television and on the internet. And the Lord said, you don't have to agree with a political leader to honor them. You understand and look past their failures, their humanity, and their wrong decisions. And here's the verse for that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. I want you to look at it. It says, honor everyone. I'm going to get to that at the end. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And look at the last three words, if you don't mind. Honor the emperor. You say, well, that must have been a good emperor. I hate to tell you. It was the worst emperor in the history of Rome. Nero, who fiddled while Rome burned and blamed the Christians and covered them with pitch, everyone he could find, put them on a pole in his gardens and lit them on fire as he rode through the garden naked with his homosexual lover at his side. Now, that's the one that Peter said to honor. Now, I'm just going to tell you, you don't have a politician in Oklahoma as bad as that one right there. He said, well, when we get a good one, I'll show him a little honor. Well, I hate to tell you, but remember the definition of honor. It's looking past the object or the person to the position that they hold or the people it represents. That's what that guy did on the beach that day. He looked past the object to what it represents. So if a person is elected and put in a position of power and office in the United States, I am going to pray and intercede for them that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. That's what Paul told us. So this whole thing of spending all of your life trying to dishonor someone who is elected, you're wasting your time. I authorize you to run for their office and replace them. You can do that. If you don't like your governor here in Oklahoma, I don't know him, I don't know, or her, I don't know what they're doing. But if you don't like them, you can start your campaign tomorrow morning. In our country, it's a free country, but you are required to show them honor. You say, well, they're a Democrat and I'm a Republican. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Our last president was Democrat. I prayed for him every day and asked the Lord to give him wisdom. They're holding the nuclear football. They're holding all of our destinies right in their hand in one briefcase. They need our prayer. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And that goes for police officers as well. That goes for judges. When a judge walks in the courtroom, what did they say? Rise before his honor or her honor. They call them your honor because you're looking past. When they take the robe off, they just go mow their grass like everybody else. But when they're in the position, God said, honor the emperor. Number three, he told me to honor those who lead the church. Now I'm gonna kind of get in your back pocket a little bit. Honor those who lead the church. I wish all your members were here so I could preach this to them right now. In fact, this would be a great tape to bring to some of your key members. It really would. Because if you look at 1 Timothy 5:17, it's clear as a bell. He says, let the elders, and I just finished a teaching in Tulsa Sunday night, six qualifications of an elder from 1 Peter 5 and 6. Let the elders... And that's fivefold ministry, by the way, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That I believe that's who an elder is. Let the elders who rule well, that qualifies it. Yes. If they're not ruling themselves well, or they don't rule their family well, it says, how shall they rule the church of God? Or they don't rule the church well, then this verse doesn't apply to them. But if an elder rules well, let them be considered worthy of, please say the next two words with me, would you?
Double honor.
Double honor. And it applies to you. I say it a little louder. Ready? Double
honor.
That's a Greek term for a financial term. That is it's timeo, but we get our word honorarium from that very word.
Yes.
So let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of, and it's not in any other place in the Bible. Double honor is not even mentioned except for the firstborn son. Of course, he received a double inheritance. But it says, that's you.
Yes.
That's you. So I really wish I had an opportunity to talk to your board about your salary. Come on now, somebody. I really do. I sometimes I'm shocked. My dad was a Baptist pastor. Their mantra, you know, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. That's right. And one of Daddy's friends got white sidewall tires on his little Falcon, and the demon board, whatever you call him, went crazy that he was showing his wealth too much. Well, let me tell you something. God spoke to me. He said, anybody that's in a position and is, I don't care if they're a missionary, I don't care who they are, if they're ruling themselves well, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And people say, yeah, you don't have a job. You don't even work. All you do is preach on Sunday. Have you ever gotten that word from anybody? Well, let me tell you, research shows that the brain burns more calories than any other muscle. And when you preach 45 minutes to an hour, you burn 8 hours of calories. Like you were working on a highway for 8 hours when you preach 1 hour. Like I am right now, my brain is burning calories like crazy. Now I'll preach 4 times a year, 3 times in Birmingham, 7 times this weekend. And by Monday, I don't want to see a Christian, brother. I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to watch a ball game. Come on, baby. Because it's labor, and I can't say that, but I will tell it to you. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And therefore, when a missionary comes to my church, if they drive up in an old beat-up car, one time drove up, had 150,000 miles on it. He had five kids in the back. And I stuck my head in and said, service engine soon. And the Lord said to me, I want you to buy this couple a new car. I said, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. And the Lord said, this ain't the devil. This is me. How many of you know the devil never tells you anything good to do for anybody else? So that night, I got up in church, Pastor, and I said, I'd like this couple to stand. I said, you know what? I looked at their car today. They're driving all over the country. And they got 150,000 miles, and it has seen about the end of the stick. And that's all I said. And people started walking forward and putting money on the stage. I never said one word. And when they counted it, it was $41,000. Come on, are you listening? That's right. In fact, I was with her day before yesterday from Mexico. She flew into Tulsa. Her daughter graduated from Victory. And she reminded me of that because they drove out the next day in a brand new Suburban. They had a vacuum cleaner in the back of the thing. Look, I was a missionary. I pushed an old Jeep more than I drove it over there in Nigeria. So give me a missionary, brother. I'm going to show them some honor. Come on, say amen. That's right. See, this verse, some people need to get the revelation of what they're doing. If they show you dishonor and they don't want to pay you anything, they don't want to give you anything, they don't want all that, oh, well, I don't want him to have too much, I don't. Okay, just give them that verse, get them this tape, and I'm talking to you that are listening to the tape now. It's time for you to give them double honor. Come on, say amen. Everybody ought to. Number four, I hope you can make it through this one. He said, I want you to honor your wife. I got one amen on that one. I want you to honor your wife. I'm sitting out on the balcony of this condominium. First he said, honor me. Then he said, I want you to honor those in civil authority. And then he said, I want you to honor those that are in the body of Christ, that are in leadership positions. And I do. In fact, I honor every one of you. I don't care if you got 50 people in your church or 15.
Amen.
Hey, man. I flew up here today with about 50 passengers on the flight from Houston. And the pilot calls those souls. He says, there's 50 souls on board. Well, I was one of them. And I consider myself to be important to somebody. If you got 50 people, you're the pilot, and you got 50 souls, you're flying to heaven. You better take good care of them. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And they need to take good care of you and mama, too. But here's number four. You need to honor your wife. And I'm going to make that spouse. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter, if you recall, who was married. I know some don't believe that, but he had a mother-in-law. You don't get one of those unless you're married. He said, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That means you need to understand something. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, I was in Kazakhstan with nothing to do. I turned on the TV, and the only thing on was a women's weightlifting competition. And I saw a woman deadlift 450 pounds. I saw it with my own eyes. That is not a weaker vessel. How many of you men are glad you're married to a weaker vessel like me? Mine is. But it says, since. Now, see, here's the point. Show them honor. Yes, they're weaker. On the outside, they are weaker. But he said, on the inside, you got to look past the outside. They are heirs with you of the grace of life so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Yes.
The Lord said, if you do not honor your spouse, I will not answer your prayers. And you're fasting, you're praying, you're bringing the banker to play golf and everything to try to get money for your church. And none of your prayers are going anywhere because you don't even notice if your wife's at church or not.
Yeah.
He said, I want that to stop. I want that to change. And reminded me, I had seen a video of Queen Elizabeth when she, you know, everybody saw her about 2 months ago, a month ago when her when they got married over there, the royal wedding. But she's been queen now 65 years. In that 65 years, Queen Elizabeth has not had a driver's license. She has been driven, chauffeured anywhere she wants to go A car is waiting. She also has not opened a door in public in 65 years. When she walks toward a door, grown men break their neck to get the door open in front of Her Majesty. They hold whole royal command performances, a huge orchestra band, everything with one chair. And she's sitting there. It's a royal command performance. When she had her 60th year as queen, they brought her throne to the banks of the River Thames. It flows right through London. And 1,000 ships sail past with the sailors in their dress whites saluting a little woman on a chair. It was the queen. And the Lord said this to me. He said, if you'll treat your wife like the queen, she will treat you like the king. Now that'll preach right there, brothers. But He said, if you don't want your prayers to be hindered, I want you to honor your wife. And I changed. And I've been honoring her all her life. But so when Melanie and I are walking toward it, by the way, I don't walk 10 feet in front of her, waving to all the adoring masses of people while she's kind of walking back there behind me. And I see a lot of pastors. He said, walk with your wife. You're escorting the queen. And when you come to the door, like this exit back here, I've seen a lot of pastors, they open the door for themselves and they let it just fall on their wife. Don't do that anymore. Amen. You open the door, you let her through. After the service tonight, when you go out to your car, don't go out there by yourself, brother. Crank the car and blow the horn till mama comes out. I want you to walk her to the car. I want you to walk around to her side of the car, open the car door, and when you pick her up off the parking lot, help her in the car, close the door, straighten your jacket, crank the car, and drive her home. Now, see, this is all, and it will change your marriage. If you get that switch, and I can counsel you and lay hands on you and rub you bald-headed like we've heard before, but counseling is good, prayer is good, but if you got the switch off, none of it is going to help. The moment I began to see Melanie as a fellow heir of the grace of life, everything changed. And that goes both ways. Ladies, this is the seventh verse. The first six verses are written to wives about honoring their husbands. One verse for men, six verses for ladies. Hello. And He said to the ladies, even if your husband is not a believer, that as you show him respect, you will win him without a word as you show him honor. And I understand that. I get that. It's hard sometimes to honor a man who is not as spiritual as you are. In fact, most ladies tell me their husband does not pray as much as they do, read the Bible as much as they do, give as much as they do, pray as much as they do. They say, my husband, I can't submit to a man that's not spiritual. But the Bible does not ever talk about spirituality. It talks about position. You look past the brother, even if he's not a Christian, and you honor him because he is the head of the relationship. The Bible says that. Yes. And when you do that, God will, the Bible says, even save him. And this is very important. I know you say to your husband, I'm going to the store to get some groceries. I'll be back in a little bit. I'm going to need you to help me with the groceries, and I need you to put the garbage out while I'm gone. And he says, fine, I'll do that. Well, you go to the store, and you come back. Garbage truck is passing the driveway, no can, and it gets you pretty steamed up right then. But when you pull in the garage, you open the door, you call his name, you say, I'm home, I need some help with the groceries. You bring in one bag after another, and the dear brother never appears. And so you are really, really getting steamed up, and you start walking down the hall looking for him, and you pass the living room, and there he is in front of the TV. He's laid on the couch, sound asleep, with a remote control in his hand. His mouth is hanging wide open. His belly is hanging down, touching the floor. And the thought comes in your mind, look at what I married. Look at him. He's pitiful. You see, you're looking at the outer person. You're looking at their failures. You're looking at their mistakes. You're saying, I don't even need him. I'd be better off without him. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He can't do anything around here. But that dishonor, that thought, I'm telling you, is the seed of the destruction of all relationships. And that brings me to number four. I honor my father and my mother. I honor my parents. It's number five, excuse me. Both of them were in heaven, but my dad lived with me his last 7 years after Mama died. He's in the ministry 68 years. And he and Billy Graham were the same age. Billy Graham just went to heaven. They were the same age. Daddy died 2 years ago. And I often thought to myself, what if Billy Graham was in that apartment? Wonder how I'd be checking on him. We see the Bible says in Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Ephesians 6:2. And you know that promise, that it will go well with you and you will live long in the land. You say, well, my parents weren't good parents. They were abusive. They were anonymous. My parents didn't come to my ball games. My parents weren't there at my graduation. My parents were even abusive in many different ways, and I can't honor them. But you got to remember the principle of honor that guy on the beach taught us that day. It is that you look past the person to the position. My daddy came and got me in the fifth grade and said, we're driving to pick you in 2 hours away. I said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to put a new roof on my mama's house. Big Mama, we called her. She's 4'11". And a tree had fallen through her home, and Daddy had a number of brothers in the house, in the city. None of them ever fixed the roof. So she had leaks all in her house. She put buckets all around in the house. And Daddy borrowed money, $1,000 at the bank, which was a lot of money in 1962. And we went together over there, and in 4 days, with a couple of men's help, we put a new roof on. I remember Big Mama running around the house, I mean jigging. She took up all the buckets because she finally had a dry roof. Now, here's the interesting end of the story. All of Dad's brothers and sisters, there were 9 of them all together. Seven of them died an early death in their 50s. Youngest sister, Daddy's youngest sister, was a baby at that time. She wasn't really involved, but she's alive today. She's 90, and my dad died at 97. So you start putting two and two together of what it means to honor. And I highly recommend, if your parents are still alive, that you call them tomorrow and you say, is there anything I can do for you? Because when Daddy was in his last few months, I had to shave him, bathe him, dress him, and I'd lay him down in the bed, and he'd look up at me, and he'd say, Larry, you're too busy to do this. And I'd say, Papa, it's my honor. He'd say, Larry, boy, you're a good son. That's what he called me. I'm 65. He called me Larry, boy. But it was my honor. I looked past the fragile 108-pound man that was there. I said, you gave me life. You put me in the ministry. I love you, Papa. I'll do anything. Anything you say, the answer's yes. And that brings me to number six. I honor my children. You know, tonight I noticed that there was not anybody over 35 on this stage. If they were, they make up real good, because I couldn't tell anybody over 35. There's a new generation, Pentecostal Holiness pastors. There's a new generation that's doing their best to come up under us and take the mantle and take the baton. That's right. But I'm going to tell you what's happening is the switch is off. And we are not understanding the principle of honor. At 30, my father turned our church over to me. And we had about 1,500 members. And I was an associate pastor, and in a service, he and a missionary and some others decided I was going to be pastor. They announced it. He asked me, do you want to be the pastor? I said, no, I'm going back to Africa. And about 15 minutes later, the Lord said, this is your destiny. And I leaned over to them. I said, yes, I believe it's the Lord. Well, at 32, we built a 6,000-seat auditorium, and it was packed the first day. And let me tell you, that's what's inside a 32-year-old. And my son took the church at 30. It's 7 years in October he's had the church. He's added three new campuses, and he's adding number four in this at the end of this year. Excuse me. Yeah, hit number four. So we have seven campuses, and he had 10,000 people saved in 1 year. Come on now, somebody. That's right. That's what's in a guy in his young 30s. But we as pastors, you know, we want to get to be 109 before we even start looking back. I'm going to deal with that in the fathering session tomorrow morning. But I'm just telling you, it's a matter of honor. You have to honor that young generation and work with them. And then he come to the last one. Here's one that I think is my favorite. The Lord told me, honor every person.
Yes.
Honor every person. You know, in that verse that I read you in 1 Peter, he said, honor everyone. In Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. I like that. Outdo one another. And he's talking about in the church. And then in James chapter 2 and verse 6, he said this. He said, you have dishonored the poor man. Remember, they were taking the rich man and bringing him to the front row, and the poor man was being made to stand in the back. Now, this is a problem.
Yeah.
We're looking at the outside of people and not past the person to the position they hold. Every person is in the image of God.
Amen.
I don't care if they're from China, Brazil, Russia, Africa, Mexico. I don't care where they're from. None of that matters to me. I'm looking past the outer man to the image of God. They are made in the image of the Creator himself. Do you agree with what I just said? And that is the secret to missions. And I've been involved in missions now for many, many, many years. If you don't honor other cultures, you will never accomplish anything in missions. You cannot show up in countries as the great white father and show them everything and tell them this is all you do is follow me. You cannot do that. Eventually, you're going to have to honor the fact that they are the leaders of that country.
Amen.
The same is true in the United States.
Yes,
and even in the church. You know, I've got a lady in our church, just went to be with the Lord. She in her 80s, illiterate, Sister Kraft. But you know, Sister Kraft was the most faithful person. And I used to laugh at her. I love pastoring. She would come into the lobby as I was standing there at the end of the service, and she would get me to pray for people. And she never could get the disease or the sickness correct. She'd say, I need you to pray for Val. I said, what's wrong with Val? She said, she's eaten up with apparatus. That's arthritis. She had another friend that said that they found an angerine in her head. That's an aneurysm. One time she asked me to pray for her. I said, what's wrong, sister? She said, my satanic nerve is really bothering me. Well, if you've ever had that, you know that's a pretty good description of it. One time she told me my message was so good, she was going to go out and buy the BVD copy of it. Started my own underwear line. Another time she said, pray for this guy. I said, what's wrong? She said, they just put a stench in his heart. But you know something? Sister Kraft was illiterate. But she went through our cell group training course and had someone read it to her at home to complete the lessons. She opened a small group in her home in her 80s and was successful. When you got other people, they show up and they're big and that, but they do nothing. They don't tithe. They don't pray. They don't open a small group. They don't do one thing in the house of God and grace God's presence every 4 or 5 weeks that they're there. Listen, we need to show up. There's somebody somewhere, and I saw him tonight, back there keeping your children.
Amen.
And they would love to be in this service. Usually they're volunteer. But the big men of God, the faith of power for the hour, guys, we just walked right past the parking lot attendants and all. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to change that. Listen, this will change your whole church.
Amen.
If you start honoring every person in the whole body, if you've got 46 people, you show them all honor. Anything they do for another, let it be known. Let them feel your honor. And often as a traveling speaker, people overestimate who people are. They think, you know, God's man of faith and power has arrived. It's God's man of paste and flour most of the time. But I don't allow that. We had people holding the door here tonight. I want to turn and square up and look them right in the eyes and say, thank you, I appreciate you. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? I got the switch on. And when you honor God with prayer, with worship, with giving, and you honor public officials, honor your mayor, honor your chief of police, bring him to your church, say, we want to show honor to our fire department. We want to show honor to our judges and people that are in authority, teachers, principals. We want to show honor. We want to show honor to the other men of God. In fact, I had a billionaire tell me he wants to honor every pastor in Oklahoma City. God has put it on his heart to show honor to them. He asked me 2 weeks ago, how do I do that? I gave him a pretty good idea. I hope he follows through with it. Because, yes, we do. You, every other pastor in your city, go to him and say, bro, just want you to know I honor you, man. I honor you. If they're Baptists, just go honor them. It don't matter who they are. If they're in the kingdom of God and they're saved, they love Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, go tell them, I love you. I'm not in competition. There's no competition between lighthouses. Amen. It's ships going on the rock. Shine your light, man, and show honor. And then honor your wife. Blow her mind and open that car door for her. Honor your kids. Honor, and then honor everyone. And I want to just close with, I want us to honor the Holy Spirit. I have a feeling he's the odd man out.
Yes, sir.
Somehow people have stopped even talking about the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
And the power of God and the need for the Holy Spirit's conviction. Well, guess what? We're going to change that this week. I'm going to have a great time with you tomorrow. We're going to have a wonderful time. But can we do something? Close your eyes. And if you'd like to show the Holy Spirit honor, I'd like you to just stand right there at your chair and just close your eyes and lift up your hands and honor him. Turn that switch on. I feel like some of you are dry in your heart. You've lost your oil. And the Holy Spirit wants to give you fresh oil. Fresh oil. And he says, if you will show me honor, I will honor you. He's going to honor you in your city. He's going to honor you in this district. I feel like he's going to honor Pastor Stewart in the nation and some others of you in this room. If you'll honor him. As you lift up your hands, just worship the Father. The Holy Ghost came into you to give you the ability to worship the Father. We really don't even need any kind of music or anything. It's something out of our heart. Just see the Father God sitting on the throne, welcoming you and giving you the privilege of coming before his throne. I want you to just honor the Lord. Father God, we honor you tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, you paid for our sin debt. Our sickness is to be healed. We honor you. And Holy Spirit, can we just honor you? Oh, Rabasieta Bakati. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why we're Pentecostal people. We're not ashamed of that. We're not embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we love him. We welcome him. We honor him in our church. We're not a dead church. We're a living church. We're alive in Christ. Thank you, Father. I want all these young people to come tomorrow at 11. Our older men are going to lay hands on the young people. Father God, we honor the Holy Spirit right now. Somebody in here is receiving a fresh touch from the Lord. In fact, I'm opening this altar right now for any man or woman of God that would want to come forward and say, Holy Spirit, I want a double portion. Holy Spirit, I want to honor you so much that I want to be so overflowing that my church doesn't even know who I am preaching Sunday. They can't even figure out where I came from and where I've been. You get out of your seat and come stand down here all across the front and say, I want that double portion of the Holy Spirit. That's me. I'm asking him to let my shadow heal people. I'm asking him to let the glory that was on Moses' face be on my face. I'm asking him to give me such glory that diseases bounce off of me and demons cry out when I walk in a room. Come on, if that's your desire, you're going to have to honor the Holy Spirit. Just come forward. That's a statement of honor. That's why we're here at this summit. We're not dragging into these meetings. We're not here just to punch a card and punch a clock and say we came to the summit and it was a little molehill. We're here to say, Father God, I want to climb the mountain of God. I want to get up where the air is clean. I want to see a fresh vision. That's the word he gave me for you. He's going to give you a fresh vision in this conference. You've been dead. You've been dry. And many of you have been discouraged, he said to me, because your oil level is low. In fact, the light has come on the dashboard. Check oil. Check oil. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a fresh anointing on every leader, every pastor, every worship leader. Now let's all just begin praying in the Holy Spirit like they did in the upper room. Just like they did in that upper room. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke the spirit of fear, doubt, and unbelief from your mind. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement from your mind. I rebuke the spirit of smallness from your mind. And there's a spirit of abundance coming upon you right now. I rebuke the spirit of the enemy of rejection, that your people don't like you. The devil's a liar. Thank you, Lord, for an atmosphere of gravity and honor in the house of God, in all of the churches that are in this district. I praise you, Lord. It will be the shining light of every city. Oh, yes, Lord. Not the little church across the tract that we're embarrassed of, but it will be the shining light, Lord God, where everyone knows they're honored and welcomed. I praise you, Lord God. I praise you, Lord God. That's right. Just a couple of more minutes. I would close, but I still feel he's working down in our hearts. The Holy Ghost is here. The precious Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one that has fellowship with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. I lay my hands on my brother. And I thank you for the spirit of grace that is coming upon his life. The spirit of grace and the spirit of fellowship. Thank you, Lord God, that you are reuniting him back with some relationships that were broken. Thank you, Lord, that you are even reuniting him back to pastors' relationships that were broken. And that this man will become a very center of unity in this state in the name of Jesus. The blessing of God upon him in the name of Jesus. My brother, your best days and your blessed days are ahead of you. Praise God. Somebody's getting a breakthrough in here. As you welcome the Holy Spirit, as you invite the Holy Spirit, as you honor the Holy Spirit, there's a breakthrough coming in you. I saw Ezekiel's army that was just dry bones, and there came a wind and it rose up as joint and bones came together, and they marched as an exceeding great army. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. I wonder if we could clap our hands and begin to give God great glory together. Come on, begin to give God great glory in this house. Great glory, Father. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. We give you all praise. We give you all worship. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you, Father God. Come on, give the Lord a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Well, I know the devil is trembling in his boots. Because we got the switch back on. Amen.